If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll look at verses 6 through 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 through 17. And we're going to be looking at numerous other places in the Bible, so you want to keep those handy and open. Don't close your Bible. Don't ever close your Bible. Once the message starts and the preacher gets behind the pulpit, leave your Bible open. Don't close it until the message is over and we're ready to have invitation. That's when you close the Bible. You need it always to be open. So Ephesians chapter 5, and if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand one more time tonight for the reading of God's Word. Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 6. And here the Bible says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the reading of the Scripture tonight. I'm praying now, God, that you help me bring this message tonight, Lord, to help do some good tonight in somebody's heart, Lord, from your word, to show us what you think about things such as the holiday of Halloween. And God will give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this message I'm going to preach tonight, some people are not going to like. Some are not going to agree with it. There'll be people that hear this on the internet and they're going to get livid. They're going to send me emails and they're going to be calling me all kinds of things. And let me just say, that's okay. That's fine with me. I'm good with that. Because what I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm going to back up with the Word of God. And if you can refute that, if you can prove me wrong from the Word of God, then by all means, after the service tonight, I want you to come to me and say, "Brother Byron, I want to show you in the Bible where you're wrong." And then we'll talk about it. But I feel justified in what I'm going to say tonight. And if you don't like it, you're going to have to take it up with the Word of God and the Lord. So the subject tonight is the darkness of Halloween. The darkness of Halloween. Now, since Halloween is only 24 days from now, and it falls on a Wednesday night, I thought this would be an appropriate time for us to either be reminded or to be enlightened about Halloween. Some people may need to be enlightened about it. And first of all, as I say this, I want you to bear in mind, I have heard every single excuse. I've heard every single rebuttal. I've heard everything that you can imagine pro-Halloween. So there's nothing new under the sun that you're going to be able to tell me about why it's okay for a Christian to celebrate this holiday. Second of all, I want to tell you right now up front that for most of my life, I too have celebrated Halloween. In fact, it wasn't until about 10 years ago that the Lord convicted my heart of this, and I repented of it, and I said, I will never celebrate that holiday again. Now, that's a bad word for a holiday, because Halloween is not a holy day, and that's what holiday means. It's not a holy day, not for the Lord. And thirdly, I know that most people have been brought up as children celebrating Halloween. Understand that. And the biggest majority of those, if they were brought up like I was back in the 60s and 70s, you never even had a single thought about Satan. It was never in your mind that you were doing anything that were worshiping the devil. It was nothing demonic. All it was a time to have fun, eat candy, sit around the campfire, carve out pumpkins. It was just fun. That's all we did. And there was no ill intentions at all when we were growing. And we were wearing what we called them false faces. They're called masks. They're false faces. Most of them, when I grew up, were hard plastic with holes cut out and two holes in the nose and a rubber band that went around. It was stapled on the sides, and people would come up behind you and pop it. And those things were so hot you couldn't hardly stand it. You would get in there and you'd breathe, and it would start running. Sweat would break out and it would run down your face. By the time you took it off, your face was solid red around here and chapped. But there were some nasty things we put on our faces. But it was just innocent stuff. really. For us growing up, it was innocent stuff. And just a fun time. And I carried the same tradition on with me when I got married and had kids. I taught our kids the same traditions I had. And we celebrated Halloween. I bought Halloween masks and wore them and loved it. I thought it was great fun. We had a lot of fun doing it. But Halloween has grown to epic proportions since the 1970s. And back then it was big, but listen, now it is the second most money is spent on Halloween than any other holiday except for Christmas. $8 billion a year is spent on Halloween and Halloween alone in the United States of America. And by the way, the United States of America is predominantly where Halloween is celebrated now. It's really not celebrated in a lot of other places. But $8 billion a year, I believe it was $8.7 billion in 2017, was spent on Halloween. And they expect it to be higher than that this year, $9.7 to $10 billion they expect this year to gross. One trip to Lowe's, we made a trip to Lowe's just not long ago. You walk in the store and it looks like a haunted house. I mean, a fourth of the store is taken up with Halloween stuff. Big old blow-up things of thing, you know, and they got the lights out. You can't even see in there now. They got the lights out and make it look dark. And I heard this morning, if you go and try to buy flowers, they try to sell you Halloween flowers now. Is that right, Phyllis? Try to sell you Halloween flowers when you go to buy flowers. Well, if you look up the definition of Halloween, just go on, look it up, or get in your dictionary. It's going to say this. Halloween, the eve of Hallows, or All Saints' Day, celebrated the last night of October. And that sounds awful innocent, doesn't it? But where did the practice of celebrating Halloween actually begin? And right away, people's already got their minds made up. Some people right now, they always say, oh, I already know where it started from. It started from the church. That's what some people think right now. And other people know where it started from. It was actually the Celtics. And the Druids is where it came from, over in Ireland and Scotland, over in that area. But Halloween began as a Celtic celebration in Ireland, Scotland, and Wales nearly 2,000 years ago. They celebrated it at a time. They didn't call it Halloween. It was Samhain is what they called it. It's spelled Samhain, but it's not pronounced that way. It's Samhain is what it's pronounced. And it means summer's end. It was a mark there at the end of October when November started. That was when everything died. That's when all the plants and the crops and everything was died. All over here on this side was alive. And so there was the divide there on October 31st until November 1st where the division was made. And so they said on that night is when the veil is lifted between the living and the dead. And on that night, Samhain, it enables them for the dead to come up and live among the living and dwell among the living and do things. And so they welcomed them into the world at that time. They even had their own false god, Samhain, that they worshiped. And he is the god of the dead, or the lord of death and evil spirits is what he's called. Nowadays we call him the Grim Reaper. That's where he came from. But this Samhain that they celebrated, they would do this on the night before November 1st, October 31st. That's why we celebrate Halloween on October 31st. And so Samhain was a festival for the dead. It was a time of people getting together in large parties, building bonfires, telling stories of horror and evil and things like that, feasting, drinking alcohol around bonfires, just a big time of celebration of the dead. Some celebrating Samhain, they wore disguises or costumes, we call them now. The masking and guising, they would call it guising. They would put on a mask and go door to door and demand food. And if you didn't give them food, then they did something to you. They trick or treat, that's what it came down to. You either give us something or we're going to trick you. We're going to cause mischief. And so they went door to door doing that. The Roman Catholics picked up on this. And they also began their own celebration at the same time to Christianize Samhain. And what they did is they took their All Saints Day and moved it to November 1st and their All Souls Day to November 2nd. And they put Hallow Eve, All Hallow is what it meant, the evening before their hallowed days, Halloween, and the Roman Catholics began celebrating Halloween. It eventually turned into that. It was All Hallows Eve. And so Salwain is where it come from. They would take turnips over there, if you can believe this. They took turnips and carved them out and made faces of dead people and put candles in it and carried them around as light. And they would also put them in the windowsills, and they put them on the porches to either drive away evil spirits or welcome them into the home. And so that's what that was. And now they carve what? Jack-o'-lanterns. That's what that is. That's where it came from. And so nowadays we carve jack-o'-lanterns with faces and we put candles in it and put them out on your porch to either drive away or welcome. Now they say trick-or-treaters, but you're actually welcoming in spirits. And so, like I said, the Catholic Church began doing this to Christianize this day. And so people will automatically say, well, that right there's, Brother Byron, what I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating the early Christian church celebration of All Hallows Eve. That's what I'm doing because it came from the church. Hold on a minute. Does anybody here know what All Saints Day is and All Souls Day? It's not a Christian celebration. It's a Catholic celebration. And All Saints Day is a day they set aside to bring food offerings to their dead relatives and pray over the dead. That's what they do on All Saints Day. The next day is All Souls Day, where they go and they pray over their dead relatives that they believe is in purgatory that didn't make it to heaven, and they offer up sacrifices to. Now, if you want to tell me that is a Christian tradition, it may be for the Catholics, but it's not for us. It's not for the Baptists. It's not for anybody that I know. And so we don't celebrate those 2 days because it is not a Christian celebration or a church celebration. Not a Christian church, Catholic church. But these have nothing to do with us. And so there certainly is no reason to say we will celebrate Halloween because the early church did, or it's a Christian celebration, because it definitely is not. Celebration of Halloween was actually banned in America back when the early settlers came. If you remember, if you've been here in our nights about why we're Baptist, and we talked about those Protestants that came over here, the Separatists and the Puritans, they banned the practice of Halloween. They already knew about it because they'd been over there, and those people in Ireland and Scotland, they knew all about it. And so when they started coming over here and trying to introduce those traditions, they said, no, it's outlawed. We're not going to have that here. And eventually, well, you know, it did start happening. And really it happened in the about the 19th century is when it really became popular here in America. But we had all the Scotch-Irish that migrated over here after the Great Potato Famine. They came over here and they settled here in the Appalachian areas and South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee. Yes, that's where my relatives came from. We were Scots-Irish, and so my family was part of that came over here, and they brought with them their traditions of worshiping or celebrating Samhain, this tradition they had, or celebration. And so by the 20th century, Halloween became mainstream here in the United States. It wasn't until about 1928 to 1935 where you even hear anything about Halloween mentioned in the United States as a national thing that was celebrated. But that's when it began, there in the early 20th century, and it became mainstream, and since then it has only grown. But as Christians, what should our stance be about celebrating Halloween? Let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask it again in just a few minutes. I want to ask you right now. Does it really matter to the Lord Jesus if we celebrate Halloween? Does it really matter? And listen, we can all have opinions on this, but I want to know what God's Word actually says. In our opening text, the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the church at Ephesus back in Ephesians chapter 5. If you remember when Paul went to preach there, he stayed with him quite a long time trying to help those people. They needed a lot of help. They were steeped in pagan traditions, idol worship. There were so many things going on in Ephesus. It was awful. I mean, it was like a modern day America. It was so bad. And if you remember what happened there, the Bible tells us in Acts 19 and 19, after Paul came and preached the gospel, this happened. Many of them, also which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You know what curious arts are? It's magician books. It's sorcery books. It's seance books. It's things to talk to the dead about. It's conjuring up spirits. It's necromancy. It's soothsaying. It's books about the wicked and demonic practices. That's what they brought. And do you see that? That was 50,000 pieces of silver. And that day, that was a lot of money. And these people, they were bringing it from everywhere to burn it because the gospel had penetrated their heart. And they realized what they were doing was sinning. God does not approve of these things that we have in our possession. And so they burnt them. Ephesus was also where they had the huge temple that was where they worshipped Diana, the goddess Diana. And they, if you remember, Demetrius, the silversmith, he was the one that made the little idols that everybody bought when they'd go and worship Diana. And when Paul started preaching the gospel, people started not buying his little idols. And what did he do? He raised a ruckus. Boy, he got everybody in that town upset. And for 2 hours, they went out there screaming and worshiping Diana. They were yelling out to the top of their lungs for two solid hours of worshiping Diana. And so Ephesus needed a lot of help. I mean, they were steeped in this stuff. Idolatry, wickedness, evilness. And it was all part of their society that they lived in. It's the same thing here going on in the United States of America. This country is full of idolatry, full of wickedness, full of evil practices. And we're allowing it to go on right in our very homes. In verse 6 of our text, Paul says this, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." And listen, like I said at the beginning, some people's going to get mad at me for even preaching this message. They're going to come against me. Because if you stand up against Halloween these days, you get labeled as some things. Immediately, somebody right now that's going to hear this message, they're going to call me a nut job. They're going to call me a religious nut. A Bible thumper, a fundy. I'm going to hear all kinds of these names thrown because of our stand against something like Halloween. He's uninformed. He's a wacko. He's an idiot. That are some of the words that you will be railed against you when you stand up for something like Halloween or stand against Halloween. It's their sacred cow. And their sacred tradition. And you'll hear these things. I hear this all the time. Well, we're only having fun. It isn't hurting anybody. And we're not worshiping the devil, so what does it matter? It's only about the candy. My kids like to dress up as different characters, and it's only one night a year. What's it hurt? I'm saved, and that's all that matters. We're living under grace, you know. God doesn't care. And those are some of the things that I've heard. And for much of my life, those are the same excuses I used to use is why I would celebrate. I remember hearing preachers talk about it. I remember hearing people before saying, I don't know why in the world any Christian would ever celebrate Halloween. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. We live under grace. And that was me. That was me. And it ain't been that long ago until the Lord grabbed a hold of my heart and showed me different. Verse 8 of our text. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Now, while I'm on this subject, and this is really going to sting some people, there'll be people that are really not going to like this. And I'm going to say this, churches have absolutely no business mingling around with things of Halloween, of trick-or-treat, of anything like that at all. And I'm talking trunk-or-treat. Trunk-or-treat. Listen, I know that's not popular today. Oh, now, Brother Byron, you need to get out of that because we help these little kids. They come and we give them Bible tracts and we tell them about Jesus. That's what we do. That's what trunk-or-treat is. We're not going there to scare anybody. Come off of it, friends. I know when Trunk or Treat started, they were supposedly to help kids have a safe environment to get candy in. I know that. You know, I didn't just fall off a turnip truck. And they could come to a church where it was reasonably safe, and they could get candy handed to them from the back, the trunk of a car or the back of an SUV, and everything was good. It was a good environment. They didn't have to worry about anything. Didn't have to worry about razors or in their apples or poison in their candy. And they could get the gospel shared. What an outreach. Friends, that's an outreach the church needs to get on, because all those kids will be there and you can give them tracts and tell them about Jesus. And if that was what it was all about, that would probably be a pretty good thing if we didn't try to imitate the world when we did it. Now, if you wanted to do it on another night, if you wanted to not dress up like the world or like a Halloween character or anything else like that and tell people about Jesus, listen, I'm going to show you a video clip before I get back into this. I'm going to show you something. Now, some of these, I'm going to show you about 15 pictures of local churches within 5 miles from here that give trunk or treats. Now, I want you to tell me, after you see these pictures, are these people celebrating Halloween, or are they just trying to help kids hear about, see about Jesus? All right, so when you talk about something like this, people all they get kind of their back up. They're like an old cat that pulls her back up, and they're ready to attack and defend the thing that they love the most. And what I'm simply doing up here, and Mary told me when I told her what I was going to be preaching, she said, you better do it with love. And that's the reason that I'm telling you this, is because it's so important that we understand the way that God sees things, the way He expects the church to be, that He expects the church to be different than the world, to come out from among them and be separate. Be holy, He says. I'm holy. You be holy. This is not holiness. There are ways to share the gospel with kids. There really is. And if you want to give kids Bible tracts on Halloween from your home, and I'm all about that, we do that. We wrap up little bags full of candy and a gospel tract. If anybody comes to our door for Halloween, I don't preach to them or anything. I give them that bag with a gospel tract in it, and they go their way. And if they want to read that, then they'll read it. But listen, there are ways to reach kids, and it doesn't have to be by looking like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, offering the world's things to kids. Kids can see right through your phoniness, by the way. They can see right through it. And so while you may do this once a year, and you may call it something cutesy, you may call it trunk or treat or fall festival or whatever you want to call it, but if you're doing this stuff, if you're looking like the world and having Halloween, all you're doing is giving an excuse to imitate the world and celebrate Halloween. That's all you're doing. So I asked this question a while ago, and I'm ask it again. Does it really matter to the Lord Jesus if we celebrate Halloween? After reading our text there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, where he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." After reading that, does it really matter to the Lord Jesus if we continue to walk in darkness and not light? Does it matter to Him if we do not do the things that are pleasing to Him, that are acceptable to Him? You better believe it matters to the Lord Jesus. Are you following me? Are you keeping up? Look at our next verses there, Ephesians 5 and 11. The Bible says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." The unfruitful works. Do we know what that is? That's the works that the world does. That's the works of the unsaved. Unfruitful are things that are not things that are edifying Christ. Unfruitful things. Can I preach to you for just a few minutes? Turn with me over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. And I want you to show you something from the Bible here. And if you've not been able to answer my question and answer it honestly, does it matter to the Lord Jesus if we celebrate Halloween? This ought to settle it for you. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5 is the condemning verse. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Do you see what Jesus is? Light. He's light in this world of darkness. When He came here and introduced Himself to this world, the world loved their darkness more than they loved Jesus, and they shunned Him. They crucified Him. They murdered Jesus because they hated the light. They loved the darkness better. Over in John chapter 3, the most famous chapter in the Bible, probably because of John 3:16. But look further in John 3:19 through 21. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." And listen, these things that we think that we love so much, like Halloween, where even if you grew up in it and you think it's something wonderful and you hate to give it up, you want to cling on to it, the reason is because of our fallen sinful nature, because our flesh loves and enjoys and relishes in those types of things. How would you ever be overcome with joy if you stumbled upon a dead body of a skeleton, somebody's skull in your yard? If it was a real skull, would that bring you joy? But yet one night every year, everybody thinks that's going to bring them great joy to demonstrate human skulls that are out in the open, skeletons, witches, devils, these things. We think that makes us happy. That doesn't make you happy. That appeals to your flesh. It pulls your flesh is what it does. It's because of our sinful fallen nature, our inherently wicked nature. Our fallen human nature loves darkness because our human nature is dark. Because we love the darkness. All manner of wickedness of sin is carried out in the dark. Things such as murders are committed in the dark. Thieves creep around and steal in the dark. Rapists carry out their sexual depravity in the dark. Child molesters, they carry out their awful deeds in the dark. All these evil deeds are done in the dark of the night. My friend, darkness represents evil. It represents hell, is what it represents in the Bible. When the Bible speaks about hell, it describes it as darkness. Over in Matthew 8 and 12, the Bible says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Do you think anybody's going to enjoy being cast into outer darkness when they get cast into hell? No, they will not enjoy that. It's nothing to pleasure yourself in and to enjoy. It's nothing like that. Matthew 25 and 30, it says, "And cast you, the unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Oh, the people that's in hell right now today, they would give anything if they could come back and tell us to turn from our wickedness, to turn from our sin, to turn from our evil ways, to not celebrate and do things such as we're doing today. Oh, they would tell you, just like the rich man that went to hell, the first thing that he did when he got to hell was want to go out and witness to his brothers. He knew because it was so bad. If they could just hear, if they could avoid this place. Friends, that rich man in hell was doing more witnesses than most Christians do living here on this earth. Hell's real and it's dark. 2 Peter 2 and 4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." One of these days when the Lord calls those out of there, when He brings them out and casts them into a lake of fire, friends, it's all darkness. Jude 1 and 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day." And yet we saw people from churches sitting in the back of their car glorifying these dead things in chains and bondage of darkness, glorifying that for little children to come by and to say, "Jesus loves you, but I'm going to glorify the devil in the meantime." That's what I'm seeing. Is it a coincidence that crime rate surges on Halloween? And people say, "Well, that's just a tall tale and a legend. You can't prove that." Oh, go look at the statistics. Go pull up police reports. Go ask a detective that works on Halloween. Go ask one of them if it isn't so. People, and I'm not talking about kids getting razor blades and apples and poison candy and rolling yards with toilet paper and setting bags of things on fire and egging cars. All that goes on too. I'm not talking about these kind of things. I'm talking about serious things that happen on Halloween. Hiding behind a mask, which is illegal on any other night of the week except Halloween, for a reason. Because when you seal your identity, you can get by with anything you want to do. People commit numerous crimes on Halloween, blending in with trick-or-treaters, stealing things from homes, abducting children, sexually assaulting people, committing violent physical assaults on random people. This all occurs on Halloween. And you want to tell me it's a holiday you want to celebrate? Halloween is a free-for-all for child molesters and murderers. And somebody may say, "Well, he's just making all that stuff up. He don't have any proof." Why don't you go ask the parents of little 9-year-old Lisa French, who went trick-or-treating and never came home? She knocked on the door of a violent sex offender, a child molester, who pulled her inside, raped her, and then strangled her to death, wrapped her up in a garbage bag, and dumped her on the side of the road like a piece of trash. Go talk to her parents, and you tell me Halloween is nothing but fun and games and celebrating. Go and talk to the parents of a 17-year-old Maria Cialella who went on Halloween night and was never seen again until 2 years later when they found her buried in the backyard of a violent murderer that lived in the neighborhood who had got her and shot her in the head just to watch her die along with 5 other girls. And they found her dismembered body cut in 3 pieces buried in his backyard. Go talk to her parents
and ask them what they think about Halloween. This just happened. It hadn't been long ago when that happened. If you think I'm mad, I am. I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at how we've allowed these things to go on right under our noses. How churches have allowed this garbage to go on inside the church. Listen, every year there's an uptick of abductions in the month of October. There's a good reason for that. The month of October is the high Sabbath for these witches and these covens and the warlocks. And you think, well, that's just stuff you see on TV. No, friends, it's real. That's real things that happened. The Wiccans, the witches, the Satanists, the New Age cults. It is their most prime time of their life, of their year, is October 31st. You know, in the month of October, more people are abducted during that month. You know why? They're being abducted for human sacrifices. Oh, there he goes. Boy, he's really going off the edge now. Friends, it is happening right, and it may be happening in your own neighborhood. You don't know when it's going on. But they offer up animal sacrifices, human sacrifices to their demonic gods while engaged in drinking, dancing, spells, curses, sexual orgies, and rituals. Now, I've watched interviews with former Satanists who said all of this is true and says he cannot understand how a Christian could ever celebrate Halloween. He doesn't understand it. The Bible says we're not to have anything at all to do with any of that mess. What seems like an innocent thing is not innocent at all. Listen, they're glorifying things that God calls an abomination. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 9, the Bible says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one of that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." And somebody right away is going to say, "Oh, now, wait a minute. Whoo, hang on. That's the Old Testament. That's under the Old Covenant. He's talking to the children of Israel about when they went into those strange pagan lands." Oh, yes, he was. But do you notice what the Bible said? It said these things were an abomination to God. An abomination. If they were an abomination to God in that day, I can guarantee you 100% they're an abomination to God in this day that we live in now. While we may not be living under the Jewish laws of their eating habits and things like that, listen, the laws of God are still binding when it comes to things like this. This is not part of that Jewish law that was done away with. And listen, if that's not good enough for you, if you want to look over in 1 Corinthians 10 and 20, we'll see from the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said this, 1 Corinthians 10 and 20, "But I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" Do you need any other proof? It's in the old, it's in the new. It's all there, friends. These things are an abomination to God. He will not stand for them. He said we can't do both. You can't have one foot in the church house and the other in the devil's house. It doesn't work that way. Our text back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." What's that mean? That means convince them of how they're wrong. To stand up to it and say, "That's wrong. We won't participate in that." He says the works of darkness. Listen, there'll be those, even after hearing all the proof, they will still put up a defense about participating in Halloween. They've committed so much of their life to it, they cannot give it up. It's like a drug that they've held on to, and they don't want to let it go. It's something sacred to them. Listen, my friend, Jesus came to save men out of this darkness. We have no business dallying in it. We've got no business participating in it. It's got no place in a Christian home. It's certainly got no place in a Christian church. It does not need to be in the mouths or the lips of any Christian in this world today. He says in John chapter 12 and verse 46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Can it get any plainer than that? I know people that claim to be Christians that decorate their yards and homes with all kinds of hellish things, graveyards and tombstones and caskets and skeletons and witches and demons and all these things out in their life, in their yard, but they say we're Christians. But once a year, we're not going to be Christians. Once a year, we're going to participate in the things of the devil. Let me be completely honest right here. Your defense of Halloween is nothing more than an excuse to stop walking in the light and for one night to walk on the dark side for one night. That's all it is, an excuse. Hey, Jesus, I love you and all, but I'm going to live like a Christian all year long, except for one night every year on October 31st. I'm not going to live like a Christian, Lord. I'm going to live like the devil. I'm going to celebrate Halloween, and I'm going to live like the world lives. I'm not going to live the way you want me to, despite what you think about it. You might as well be honest with him. If you're going to do it, be honest with him. Lord, I know you said we should not abide in darkness, but I'm going to abide in it one night every year. Lord, I know you said not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but I'm going to do it anyway one night a year. Lord, I know you said not to be partakers of these things, but I'm going to partake of them just one night a year. I know you said it's a shame to even speak of those things, but I'm going to speak about them one time every year. I know you said that I'm a child of the light and that I'm to walk in the light, but I'm going to turn off that light one time a year and I'm going to walk in darkness. Lord, you understand though, don't you? It's Halloween. Perhaps you think I'm being just a little extreme here. Well, nobody would ever do that, would they, Brother Byron? Let me put it this way to you. Think of it this way. Think about your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. Let's say husband and wife for this case. And you tell your wife, men tell your wife this, honey, I know we said we would not forsake each other when we got married, but one night a year I'm going to go cheat on you. The rest of the year, it's going to be fine. But one night, every year, I'm going to go and I'm going to find me somebody else. And I'm not going to be faithful to our wedding vows. Dear, I know we recited these wedding vows and we stated till death do us part. But one night every year, we're going to be parted. I'm going to go and break those vows and be single again for one night every year. How far is that going to take in your marriage? What's that going to say about your wedding bed? Listen, sweetie, I know the Bible says the marriage bed is not defiled, but one night a year I'm going to defile it with someone other than you. And those are harsh things, aren't they? How do you think God feels? How do you think the Lord Jesus feels when he sees his bride participating and mingling in the evil things of Halloween? Is anybody awake? Is anybody listening? Hey. John 8:12, the Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If nothing else in the Bible does it for you, that verse right there ought to do it. Romans 12:9 says, abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Not the opposite. Oh, but one night a year, I'm going to cling to the evil. And we'll put the other stuff aside. Trick or treat. You understand, don't you, Lord? Lord, you don't care if I dress up like a demon and walk around, do you? Lord, I know you died, so we didn't have to go to hell, but I want to celebrate hell one night a year. Would that be all right, Lord? Will you approve of that, Lord? I'm going to be honest with you. For the biggest majority of my life, I might as well have just said that. But Lord, when the Lord got a hold of my heart and he revealed to me how he feels about these types of things, my heart was pricked. I immediately got rid of anything that I thought was even resembled Halloween, anything like that. Friends, we've got to make a decision. Are we going to live and walk as children in the light? Or are we going to walk in darkness? I like when we come get the invitation song. Look, I don't know.